Chapter 1 Mikael Bravis stood in the doorway of a small Cressian chapel, sipping cold morning coffee while he watched Palo fishermen pass him in the street, their early haul hanging from long poles balanced on their shoulders. He examined each man and woman carefully, ticking them off mentally as he watched for new faces or suspicious glances or any amount of curiosity tossed in his direction. They bragged to one another about their catch or tagged along in sullen, unsuccessful silence, but not one of them gave Mikael a second glance. He'd grown and shorn the blonde dye out of his hair over the previous month, and he'd made sure to spend plenty of time in the sun each day to allow the natural strawberry red to come out in both his hair and his beard. A starvation diet had allowed him to lose nearly 2 stone, and every shop window reflection reminded him that he had changed his look about as much as possible since leaving Landfall. To the townspeople of this Palo fishing village, about 20 miles up the coast from Landfall, Mikael was nothing more than just another Palo vagrant displaced from his home with the Dainai's invasion. He spent his mornings on the chapel stoop, his afternoons cleaning fish at the only processing factory, and his evenings tucked into one of the dozen local pubs, listening to gossip and playing the occasional hand of cards with loose-lipped Dainai's soldiers. He gathered information, he kept his head down, and most of all he waited for an opportunity to present itself that would allow him and Dictresia to slip out of this place and head inland to find Karpol. Mikael finished his coffee, tossing the grounds into the gutter and stowing his tin cup before slipping inside. He listened to the clatter of the big chapel door swinging shut behind him and tried to resist fiddling with the still, painful stub of the finger Sedil had cut off, hidden beneath bandages and a false splint. He took a deep breath and walked up the center aisle of the chapel. To all appearances, Ictresia looked like a grieving widow. She wore a black shawl and veil and sat hunched as if in prayer on the second row of benches. Mikael glanced around the empty chapel, then came to stand beside her, raising his eyes to Krasimir's rope hanging above the altar. He noted that someone had written, "Krasimir is dead," under one of the stained glass windows of the nave. The hard-drinking fisherwoman who acted as the town priest hadn't bothered to scrub it off.
"Are all Cressian churches like this?"
Ictresia asked, not raising her head.
"Like what?"
"Dull."
Mikael considered the question.
"The cathedrals are more impressive."
"I toured the one in Landfall. It certainly was big."
He didn't sound impressed.
"Don't Dainai's have churches?"
It had never occurred to him to ask before.
"Not really, not in the same way. We're supposed to worship the emperor in the town square, but no one really does that except on public holidays."
That sounded very similar to Mikael's own relationship with religion. He'd never bothered with it as a boy, and as an adult he knew for a fact that Krasimir was indeed dead. He worked for the pair that had killed the Cressian god.
"At least this keeps you from having to stay cooped up in our room all day," Mikael suggested.
"This bench is going to be the death of me."
Ictresia stood suddenly, lifting her veil and stretching with a rather impious yawn. Ever since they had snuck out of Landfall, she'd been posing as his brother's widow. Or at least that was their story. No one had actually bothered to ask them yet. The Dainai's didn't have a strong presence here, beyond the isolated passing platoon, and the Palo simply didn't care. But such was Mikael's experience with aliases. They seemed unnecessary until, suddenly, one saved your life. She continued,
"Have you figured out how to get us out of here yet?"
Mikael grimaced. Ictresia had, to this point, taken their entire predicament rather well. She even seemed to enjoy playing the role of an anonymous widow, relishing every set of eyes that slid past her without a flicker of recognition. But the sight of the pulped corpse of her grandfather's bodyguard was still fresh in Mikael's mind, along with her demand that she be taken to her sister. He was as cognizant as ever of the power imbalance between them, and feared the moment her patience ran out.